I can't wait till we're done with Ephesians. And when we are, I pretty much can promise you, I think, if I'm here, when we finish. I mean, if I don't die first, it could be that I'm 90 by the time we finish. But that we are going to, I would like to move through books of the Bible, if not even start in Genesis and go through the entire Bible, but at a much faster speed. I don't think anyone could make it. There's not enough time. But I would love to just go through. I just feel like it's good to get these things in depth. But I think it would be nice, too, if we made some progress in some of these books so we have a more knowledge. But I think this really helps us in our life. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would take this stuff, Lord, this word that you've put there and put it deep into our hearts. And that they would not just be sitting there, but that they would be applied to our life. We pray, Lord, for your help. We ask for your enlightenment in our hearts. We realize, Lord, that unless you light up, we can't see a thing, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's like a light that shines out of darkness. Yesterday, we went over to the caves in Funde Sakala, where they're wild caves. And everybody turned off their flashlights. And it was amazing. You couldn't see your hand touching your nose. You couldn't see anything. And that is what it's like with the things of God. You cannot see a thing unless you look to the light of the world that is Jesus Christ. Unless you call upon his name, there's no way to see this stuff. And even when we become Christians, unless he illuminates, we can't see. I mean, you know how you hear something over and over again and it's just like it doesn't make sense. And then one day it clicks. That's God illuminating. And unless he illuminates, there's no seeing. And we've been looking at this battle in chapter 6 where it says, verse 10 of Ephesians, which I am in Hebrews. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we looked at last week the fact that we see the power. It is in Jesus. It is in God. And we see it in the life of Jesus, in his miracles, in the different ways. And we know this power by knowing him and by seeing him. But there is a danger within the Christian life that we just sort of gaze and we sort of look and we see things and we believe things. But the challenge is, how does that apply to our life? How do we actually apply this to our life? It is not enough to just know things. We need to be able to apply them. And it is one thing to remind ourselves of our Lord's almightiness, of the great power that resides in him, and that he has conquered, but how does it relate to me in my personal problem, in my battle, in my wrestling? And first, I believe that we need to remind ourselves that he is the captain of our salvation. I would advise you to have pen and paper today because we are going to look at a lot of verses. And I would encourage you guys to just write down, if you don't turn to them, these verses that we're going to go through. Because this will be your artillery. This will be the thing that you can go over and read over and over and over again to strengthen you in the things of God. When the battle gets tough, you know, it's amazing how things become so precious when that's all you got. You know, you don't like if I was to give you an MRE, MRE. Hey, I know what I'm talking about. An MRE, it's a meal ready to eat. It's what they serve in the army. Hey, I'm always right. Don't ask my wife. But an MRE, it's a meal ready to eat. It's probably one of the most horrible meals you've ever had. But it is amazing how good it tastes when that's all you got. And I'm telling you, sometimes we don't have an appetite for certain things because we don't need the certain thing at the time. But I'll tell you, these verses that we're going to go through are things that you're going to need. No matter who you are, whether you're young, whether you're old, there will come a time where the evil day will come and you will need these verses. And we must remind ourselves that He is the captain of our salvation. Hebrews 2:10 says, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. So here you have Jesus the captain, and you have Jesus the author and the finisher of faith. And we must realize and have a true conception of our salvation, which we are enjoying, and we must be careful to look at it completely exclusively. And there is a danger to look at it exclusively as for us or too great. It is personal. But the reality is that the danger so often in the Christian life is people think that the Christian life is something that we have to do, and we do, but we must look at the fact that it is primary of God. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. What do I mean by this? He is the one that initiated salvation. He is the one that thought about saving man. He's the one that has seen the problem, and He's the one that's ventured out to come and get us. It is such an important thing. He is involved in our salvation much more than we. And salvation is of God. And you know, I think sometimes we get ourselves into trouble when we become Christians and all of a sudden we have the feeling that, okay, now that I'm a Christian, now it's all up to me. And we forget and we don't realize that salvation began by the Lord. And it continues with the Lord, and it will finish by the Lord because He is the captain of our salvation. And we must see ourselves under that captain, and we should see ourselves in with the obvious analogy of a soldier, that a soldier does not fight a private battle. You know, and you know, sometimes you find Christians, and I call them Lone Ranger Christians. You see them all over London. They usually have, I hope nobody takes offense to this, but they usually have a board like this, and it's them and the people, the unbelievers. And it's like nobody else seems to be a Christian. As a matter of fact, it was on the road that someone met Brian Broaddus, and I was with him. And this guy with a book went up to Brian and says, how many people? He says, are you a Christian? And Brian said, yes, I am a Christian. And he says, how many people have you shared the gospel with this morning? And Brian, who had just preached to several hundred people, said, well, several hundred people. And the guy said, how long have you been a Christian, bro? And he said, 20 years. And he said, well, that's not enough. You see, you never win with these people, but they sort of think that the battle is theirs, of their salvation and of everybody else's salvation. It's their battle. And we must remember that a soldier does not fight a private battle. Nobody in Afghanistan has a personal vendetta there or a personal agenda there. They are under a command. It is not a personal quarrel. It is a great campaign. And he doesn't decide the strategy. He doesn't decide the tactics. It is in other people's hands. He is in it. He is called to it, but into a position. But it is not his battle. There is a king, or there's a queen, or there's a president, or there's a general in command of the activities directing the fight. I think that's fair enough, isn't it, that analogy? It is an individual soldier in a big army. And we must realize that we have a captain of our salvation. It is not a personal battle we're fighting. We have a God who says, the battle is mine. And you know, you have to realize King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, 13, and you might want to write this one down as well. We're going to go through a lot of them. Then the Spirit of the Lord came up to Jahaziel in the midst of the assembly, and he said, "Listen, all of you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it is God's." You know, this Jewish people must have gone to battle, and it came to a problem. It came where they began to become personal about this. For Saul, it was always a personal battle. But Jehoshaphat needed to realize this battle had nothing to do with a personal battle. It was the battle of the Lord. It was he that is at war. And what great strength we can receive in our own hearts when we realize that the battle is the Lord's and not ours. The great problem is that the Jews always tended to forget the Lord and to regard matters as their own battle and their own problem, and they gave themselves to politics, alliances with Egypt, and if they'd only realized that they were fighting God's battle, they would realize that no one could ever conquer them. And that is why Jeremiah says, "Cursed be the man whose trust is in Egypt." They didn't trust in God anymore. They trusted in their own arm and in the arm of the world. And that's why it says, "Blessed be the man whose trust is in the Lord, because the captain of our salvation is Jesus and the battle is the Lord's." But we can look at it another way. It is in Hebrews 2:10, "For it was fitting for him," it says. It was fitting for him, the way he do it. It is his doing. It is not an individual fight. He is bringing us to glory. He's saving the individual. He is saving the church. It is his plan. It is his doing. He is the leader. It was fitting. It is God's method, God's plan. This transforms us. Think of soldiers fighting in a particular area of the world. They're hard-pressed. Things against them, if they think they are alone, they will soon capitulate. They will soon just be defeated. Think of just guys in Iraq or Afghanistan, and they're cornered by the Taliban. Do you realize for a Navy SEAL what strength it brings to that Navy SEAL to realize that there are other soldiers who have sworn that no one will be left behind? Do you realize what strength it brings to a soldier to know that the United States of America is behind even an individual soldier? Do you realize for the Jewish nation, those soldiers, have you ever noticed that whenever they trade soldiers one from another for captives, that the Jews will trade 100 Palestinians for one Jew? That's how much the rest of the world realize how much they value one Jew. And they will trade 100 soldiers for one. Do you realize how that strengthens a soldier to realize, I might be a captive, I might be trapped at the moment, I might be cornered, but I'll tell you what, the rescue is coming. Somebody's looking after me. Someone's going to help. And that strengthens a person. If you think it's your own battle, then immediately you're gonna go down. You're just gonna feel depressed, and you're gonna give in, and you're gonna lose hope that you're gonna be rescued. And I tell you, man, soldiers wait because they know that nobody gets left behind. And you know what? It is not our battle. It is God's honor which is involved. You see, from Genesis to Revelation, you see that it is God's honor that is involved in saving man. You realize when Adam and Eve sinned, it's like, okay, I can just imagine. They grab the fruit, and you know what it's like. No, no, I can't do it. No, I can't do it. No, no, I can't. I can't. I can't. Oh, here, you bite. Misery loves company. Here, Adam, you have some. And Adam goes, okay. And then they realize they've messed the world up. They've messed it up. And Jesus goes up to, the Father goes up to Adam and Eve and says to them, well, you made a big mess here. And just like we parents, I want this fixed by the time I come back. Aren't you glad that God didn't say that? Aren't you glad that God didn't say, I want this fixed by the time I come back? No, he took that personally. It was his name. It was his honor that is involved. As a matter of fact, he said, I will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the devil. That is a separation. That is a war. And then he says, and the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. I will bring someone who will crush Satan. All the trouble he's causing, I will bring one. I will do it. And I think it is worth taking a study of the Bible and just looking at the I wills of God. Because when he wills, nothing gets in the way. And in Numbers 14:20, his honor is so precious, in a sense, to the Lord, that even Moses reminded him and says, the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Oh, and actually, it was Moses that said, please don't do this to them. Remember, what are they going to say? They're going to say, hey, what? Egypt will say, see, he scattered them and he lost them. And it is your name that is going to be at stake. And this is in Numbers 14:20. And then it says, the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. His name is on the line. So because he takes it so personally, because he takes it so personally, because his honor's on the line, we can draw tremendous strength. How many of you guys did not draw strength with the Chilean miners? How many of you guys don't know about the Chilean miners? Anouk, do you know about the Chilean miners? Margot, do you? No, you didn't watch the news? Anybody not know? Anybody else not know? Everybody else knows. It's amazing. These people were trapped underneath the ground. I think about a mile underneath the ground for how many days? For 2 months, wasn't it? Two or three months underneath the ground. And they took courage. They took strength when they saw their president saying, we will get you out of. And they took strength when they realized that their families were outside there with vigils. They had guitars and they were praying and they were worshiping and they were seeking God to save those people. But when you know that the honor of a country is behind you, those guys were there. Every time you saw them smiling at the TV. Hey! You know, they've been in the dark for 2 months and they're, hey! And then they came out and they were like, Viva Chile! And the honor of the country. And then obviously they all had, did you notice the shirts that they were wearing? Huh? It had, what did it say exactly? I forgot. Anybody remember? What's that? Gracias, Señor. It said, thank you, Lord. Isn't that amazing? But they draw strength from it when we know that a country's honor. I got an American passport now. I just became a citizen in January. You know what it's like to be, you know, if you're a captive and if you get, oh, please take this off the recording. But if you get taken hostage and you belong to Spain, you just kind of go, well, what are they going to do? To some degree, you know, to some degree. Sorry.
You're digging a hole.
I know. But I'm sorry, but when I know that I've been on the Kennedy and I've been in the U.S. Army and I see those tanks, those Bradleys, and I've seen those A1s, and I know with the U.S. military, I used to live in a naval base. I've seen the Blue Angels, I've seen the F-14s, I've seen the F-15s, I've seen the destroyers go through. When you see something like that coming at you and behind you, you just draw strength from it and you say, Mamma mia, with an army like this with me, who can be against me? There is a big difference between the Spanish army and the American army. Hey, I'm just being realistic. Number three, let's move over. We make it all about man. We are always looking inwards and feeling sorry for ourselves and looking for something to help us. And I think this is part of it when it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, some of us, and probably me most, We are so self-centered. We get so swallowed up by our own little problems. You know, I want this thing, or this thing's not going my way. And do you realize that you can stop? You can block the view of the sun with just a penny. You know, you can put a penny right there, a cent, or whatever currency, a pent or whatever, and you can block the whole of the sun. And a little problem can actually block the greater picture of God and of what He's doing in our life. And I believe that we need to realize the battle is the Lord's. Salvation is His. And it is for His honor. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. And this is where I really want you to read that, write down verses. Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them." Notice, think, the angel of the Lord, a powerful being, just encamped right there. And He never sleeps. He never slumbers. And He's with those who fear Him. And when I became a Christian, there was a story of a man, missionary family that was in the middle of the jungle, and these natives came out to kill them. They came with their spears and with everything, and these guys were notorious for killing people. And you know what? They got to the house and they camped around the house the whole night, and they could see them through the windows. And then the natives left, and the people were completely just astonished. What happened? Now, a couple of years later, some of these people that had come over to kill them became Christians. And they said to him, "Well, what happened that night?" He says, "That night we were determined to kill you. We were determined that we were going to go in and we were going to kill the whole family. But we saw what seemed to be giant beings outside of the house. And we were so scared that we actually turned back and went away." Listen, I am not one, and anyone that knows me a bit will realize that I am not one to just take stories. I'm quite a critical person. This one is valid. And he says, there was encamped angels around us. They were protecting our house from those natives killing us. I tell you what, until the Lord is through with us, nothing can touch us. He puts His angel to encamp around those who fear Him. Psalm 91:1, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Have you seen little chickens, little chicks? Whenever they see danger, they just run right to the chicken. And the chicken just grabs the wings and zoop, puts them underneath. Try to get to those chicks. Have you seen geese? What they do when you try to get near their chicks? It's unbelievable the noise they make. They take that very personally. Rah! You know, they just open their mouth and they just sort of give you like a spit, sort of a growl. And you just run away. I mean, I'll run from a goose any day. I put a Doberman in front of me before a goose. But the goose takes seriously the protection of its chicks. And it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Can't you draw strength from that? John 10:29 says, "No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." What comfort is that? I mean, we are in God the Father's hand as believers. And He's saying no one can come there and pluck something out. You know, you ever have an older person say, "Go ahead, try." And then you're a little kid and you're like, you try to take it out and go ahead, try. "No, I can't." Well, that's the same exact thing. Nobody can take anything out of the hand of the Father. Then Romans 8:38 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor thing present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our enemies will try, they will try everything, and to get us and to believe that it is too late, that we are cut off, that there is no way to escape. but it will never happen. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. His name and his honor are on the line. And we need to realize that we are not fighting our own battle, but he is fighting the battle. And all this means that God cares for us and that his care for us is greater than we ever realize in this world. Didn't Jesus teach it? You know, sometimes you read your Bible and you're like, okay, it says he clothes the lilies. And then I just think, okay, what are lilies? Because I'm not a flower guy, you know? So Google is great. Google, lilies. And then don't go for shopping because you wouldn't want to buy any, but you go to images. And all of a sudden, this library of lilies came out. And they were yellow, and they were orange, and they were purple. And you just think, man, these things are beautiful. All kinds of different colors. And you just think, they are so wonderful. Well, are they? Did I make a mistake with the flower? Oh, okay. I thought maybe I... But this beautiful, beautiful flowers. And then he says, if he clothes the lilies like this, how much more will your Father in heaven? That how much more should be enough. He says, two sparrows. Not two sparrows fall down that he doesn't know about it. In other words, if he cares for two birds, he says, how much more? That how much more is an infinite how much more. He loves and cares for us. We should draw tremendous strength from stuff like that. How much more? Philippians 1:6, Paul was in the hands of a capricious emperor, Nero, who may suddenly decide that he's got a different mood and wants to put him to death. And he doesn't know if he'll be killed. He knows that there's even trouble in the churches. So in other words, he's in trouble. The churches are in trouble. And he writes Philippians and he says this, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. I mean, look at the confidence that this man has, not in himself in prison, sort of pitiful and wet and thinking, life is over. You know, sometimes we get in conversations with people, or we leave a conversation and we just dumped. And we just realize, why am I so pessimistic? Why am I so depressed? Paul's in prison, wet and miserable, and he says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. 1 Peter 1:5, it says, you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed. Kept by the power of God. Now, what's greater than the power of God? There's absolutely nothing that is greater than the power of God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Angels, Hebrews 1:14, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Our position is like being children of a royal family. You think of Prince William. Prince William really wants to go to Afghanistan because his brother Harry went, and it really helped him in his own life. And Prince William's like, oh, I want to go. And one of the generals says, and he will not be going to Afghanistan. And he might. They might do it secretly. But I think they're trying to protect them. The king and the prince of this country of Spain do not travel together on a plane. They travel separately. The family, they're taken. The kids are protected from harm that would come upon them. There's armed guards or security guards around the family when they go on holiday. So nothing happens to those kids. Listen, we belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is interested in protecting us. We should be able to draw strength from that. Think of the movie Taken. Have you guys seen? I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago. I love that movie. You know, the girl goes to Paris and she's with her friend and she gets taken captive. And there she is. She's being taken captive. She's on the phone with her dad. Daddy, daddy, they're here. They're in the room. Daddy, daddy. And then they take her. And the guy that takes her captive gets on the phone and just breathes on her. And the dad says, if you let my daughter go, I will forget this ever happened. But I have a particular set of skills. and I will look for you, and I will find you, and I will kill you. And the guy says, good luck. So the guy travels to Paris. He goes over to Paris, and he finds this Albanian guy, and he's in the room. And this is after days of looking for him. He finds the Albanian guy in the kitchen, and the guy says to him, good luck. And then he realizes, oh, you're him. He says, I told you I would find you, and I will kill you. And he electrocutes him. I don't know what. He tortures him and stuff like that. But listen, the point is.
Spoil the movie.
What's that?
Spoil the movie.
Oh, that's okay. But the point is, I believe that the story is based on a true story. Huh? The movie is based on a true story. And listen, guys, the point is the father loves that daughter, and she's been taken captive, and nothing will get in the way of him rescuing his daughter. This is a finite man. What is it going to be with an infinite God who calls us? We have a maker. He calls us his own. He sees you steer the falls, and he hears me when I call. Listen, he takes us very, very seriously. He takes us very, very seriously. How much more will our Father in heaven? And he puts ministers around those angels. And I realize that some of you guys, your angels are probably exhausted, particularly Anouk and Margot, when they go over to the sea and they're surfing at 7 in the morning, and the angels are going, oh no, not again. You know, they're going to sea, you know. Or when we go on the extreme hike, they're like, oh no, MBS going to the extreme hike. Legion of angels, and they're all in camp, and they're just sort of protecting us. You know, when Raph's drowning, one goes, "Ooh, let's lift him up a little bit." But the reality is, like, there is, and I'm not trying to even be funny. The reality is, I am a little bit, but the reality is that they really are. There's some things happen to us sometimes that are inexplicable. You think, how in the world did this happen? Who was that person? Why did this? Or things that stop, certain things that happen in our life that sometimes we just got to look back and we can only attribute it to angels. As a matter of fact, Matthew 18:10 says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. The angel encamping, the angels ministering, God caring for us, all this is part of being strong in the Lord, and we need to develop God confidence. Listen, there's too much self-confidence in the world today. Read people's resumes. Wow. Is there anything you can't do? People are just so self-confident. And then you see people, I mean, I'm not saying the man can't accomplish a lot, but I'll tell you what, we need people that know how to trust in God. Those who know their God will do great exploits. And I believe we need to learn the secret of being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Number four, this power is not only working around us, not with angels, not with the angel of the Lord encamping and God's power around this, but this power is actually also working in us. This power is actually working in us. Think about it. Ephesians chapter 1, 2, verse 1, it says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, 5, it says, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And, you know, there was a time where you were not a Christian. There's a time where you become a Christian. People share the gospel with you and you thought it was stupid. And then all of a sudden, something happens where you find yourself convicted and you find yourself all of a sudden surrounded by a presence or a step that you know you need to take, and you pray or you believe and you whatever it is that it takes, but you find yourself one day that you are a different person. You can't really describe what has happened, but something has happened that you've become different. You all of a sudden have a desire for God. You all of a sudden know God. And you think to yourself, how in the world did this happen? And the reality is that happened through the power of God. As a matter of fact, have you ever tried sharing with an unbeliever and they just look at you and it's like, that's silly, that's dumb, and what are you doing believing that? And I don't see that, and I don't feel that, I don't sense that, and that's a bunch of rubbish. And you're like, but it's not. And you think, this is impossible. Sharing the gospel with people, making Christians, is impossible. And that's exactly what Jesus said. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And rather than be discouraged that people are not believing, you should be incredibly encouraged to some degree of the miracle that's happened in your life. Don't you ever share and you're like, oh man, nobody believes. Well, you should be so thankful that at least you see. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, said Jesus. And the reality is that we have experienced the power of God that has raised us from the dead. We were dead and now we are alive. Isn't that amazing? But then we sometimes stop at that and we think, okay, we had the power of God to be born again, but now we don't need that. Now it's my salvation and I gotta go for it. But Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 1, if you turn with me there, in verse 15, it says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith, those people that were dead and now are alive in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, verse 16, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Isn't that amazing? He says, okay, you've experienced the power of God in conversion, but you're going to experience more of the power of God as you get to know the spirit of wisdom and revelation that is given to you, as you know the power that is working in you, the exceeding abundant power that's working inside of you to transform you, to cause you to walk in a different way in this world. Isn't that amazing? But it doesn't even stop there. See, the Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 13, it says that they were losing heart. It says, therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And the Ephesians were too dependent upon Paul. They trusted Paul for everything. If they had a spiritual problem, Paul, help me. And Paul was right there and was able to say, here, I'll write you a letter. And he would write him a letter. But all of a sudden, he's at the end of his life. The Ephesians church is completely dependent. When Paul left, and they thought that they were not going to see him anymore, which they didn't. They said that they knelt, they begged them not to go, and they cried as they prayed and said goodbye. I mean, they were really dependent. And their question was, what shall we do if Paul goes? From whom should we get advice and help? If he goes, we are finished. But look at verse 14 of Ephesians 3. It says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the love. But notice this, it said that you will be strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man. The strength is not just without. The strength is when we become a Christian within, but then it grows increasingly in our life. We become stronger and stronger as the years go by. Guys, Martin Lloyd-Jones was a little man who preached in Westminster Chapel for many, many years. And in his deathbed, his daughter was reading to him, though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. And she stopped him, and she said, he pointed to the verse, and she said, yes, Daddy? And he pointed at the verse, and he says, that's me. He couldn't talk anymore. His outward man was weak, but his inward man was like an Arnold Schwarzenegger. The inward man was strong. Louise Cathcart to bring it a little bit more at home. She's very ill. Sam said she looks, she's disappearing. Very little left. And he says, but spiritually, a giant. The inward man being strengthened. The power of God works in us to strengthen us in the inner man. So he says, don't worry, don't faint. It doesn't matter what happens to me. Salvation goes on because of his power, not mine. I am a mere instrument, and God can raise other men to minister to you, but it is the power of God that will do it. We're moving, we're landing. Don't faint, don't lose heart. Let's write down a few more verses. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 should show us why we strengthen ourselves, where we draw strength from the Lord. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it is God who works in you to will and to do. It is the power of God that works in us. And you know what? This is where we need to heed the power of God. There are several addictions that God has dealt with in my own life that were too strong for me. But when the time came, the Lord gave me that small suggestion. This is what I want to deal with. And I needed to move in it, take radical steps, but realize that it was the power of God leading me. He was leading me into it. And he says, I want you to work out what I am working in. When sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and you don't know why, and you find yourself, your thoughts and your heart are lifted up to God, that is the power of God lifting you up to fellowship with God. When you're just at home and you're just walking or through the house or you go for a walk and all of a sudden your heart gets lifted up to the things of God, that is the power of God working in us. And that is what we need to work out. So what he's working in, we work out the power of God in us. The hope of glory. Colossians 1:29, it says, to this end, Paul says, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. He in another place, he says, I work harder than all the other apostles, yet not I, but the grace of God. It is that strength, that energy that God works in us. Sometimes you watch people working so hard and so hard and so hard and so hard with the things of God, or even in a job sometimes, and you just realize, man, it is the strength of God that's doing that. And that is why Paul would tell the Ephesians, be strong in the Lord against these attacks of the devil and in the power of his might. Let me read to you another one, because Paul shared with the Thessalonians, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. Paul was conscious of the power of God as he was sharing the gospel with these Thessalonians. He says, there was something different when I shared the gospel with you. There was something different that day. Then it happens at other times. It was the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. And you know what it is like. Sometimes you share the gospel with someone and it's like words, words, words. And there's sometimes you find yourself that is like a tunnel and it's just you and that person, and that person's taking everything in, and you think to yourself, this is a divine thing going on here. And it is the power of God convicting a man and sharing with him. Then we have 1 John 4, 4-6. He says, 4 through 6, says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. 1 John 5:18 and 19, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. What a contrast. And then finally, this power is not just around us, it's not just in me personally, but this power works in us as a church. And I'm not talking about as the Santa Ponsa Community Church. The reality is that the church, the Santa Ponsa Community Church, is made of believers and unbelievers. There are people who come to church here, who make their home church here. They like coming, but they're not Christian necessarily. They just come and listen, and hopefully they will become Christians. When I speak about the church of God, I speak about the believers that are scattered throughout the world in every country. Our brothers in Iran, in China, in England, in Germany, in Africa. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord with a sincere heart, that is where the power of God is working. And he gives us in Ephesians 4, 15 through 16, the analogy of Christ being the head and we members of the head. And the body feeds upon the head. The head sends the impulses to the rest of the body. And it is he who energizes the body. That's why it says, be not drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That's why it is the power of the Spirit. You're not to be drunk with wine like you used to be. You are to be filled with the Spirit, because therein there's true power. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Spirit, it is the Spirit that brings the power of God. Jesus said before he died, he will be in you. And then he said, I will send you the Comforter. And Romans 8:25, it says, the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that are we can't even, not even utter. And you know, when you become a Christian, you realize it is the power. You're not doing stuff. It is God dealing with you, the very power of God dealing with you. The power not only around us, not only caring for us, not only planning for us, but in us. And you know what? Creeds are all right. But I grew up as a Catholic on the other side of the island, and yesterday I was reminded of it, just seeing the church again, where I was baptized and did First Communion. And I don't know, I must have said it. I believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But it's one thing to say, I believe in these things. It's another thing to be full of the Spirit of God, to be under the sway of the Spirit of God, to be under the power of the Spirit of God. And I want to encourage you today, there's so many reasons why we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He encamps around us. We are under the shadow of the Almighty. And we need to learn the secret to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because the battle is great, and no man can fight this battle in their own strength. Luther even put it in his hymn, were we in our own strength to fight, our striving would be losing. There's no way. We're not the right man on our side. And this battle is too great, but with the Lord, we need to broaden our horizons. We don't have aircraft carriers. We don't have F-15 of F-18s. We don't have the honor of a country. We have the honor of God and all of His power behind us. Let's pray. Father.